Let's remember that during this Memorial Day weekend, you know, we like it. We have a long weekend, but let's remember why we do what we do. And to be thankful for the men and the people that have given their lives for us to enjoy freedom of worship, freedom of speech, and all the things that make us who we are as Americans. Amen? And especially what Jesus did on the cross, right? You know, I got to thinking about all the storms that we're going through as a church. How many of y'all are going through some things? Sometimes you just feel like, man, I'm being pressed. I'm being pressured on all sides. And I came up with an idea to do a series called Storm Chasers. Well, you know what a storm chaser is. People that follow hurricanes or they chase after tornadoes. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid storms. Don't you? I'm not chasing a storm, but it seems like in our life, a lot of times the way it goes spiritually, that we're storm chasers, right? So I want to start off the message today. This is a prelude into our series next week called Storm Chasers. And I begin to think about, if I were the devil, what would I do to discourage you or to try to make you quit serving the Lord and quit and just give up? So I just thought about some things and how the devil uses different things in our lives to try to get us to a point where we throw our hands up. We say, I'm through. I'm finished. It's not worth it. Amen. Let's pray before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to anoint this message. Father God, I pray that you use me, Lord God, to preach your word, Father, that the word would go forth, that, Lord God, you would open hearts to receive the word, and that the word would take root in our hearts and bring fruit in our lives. Lord, we agree right now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were the devil, let's start off with talking about the devil and how he comes in. You know, the devil is very strategic about what he does and what he uses to try to get us discouraged. But I'll tell you this, he uses the same old stuff. And the Bible says we ought to be able to recognize the wiles of the devil, to recognize the devil's scheme. 2 Corinthians, if you'll look in your Bibles, open your Bible, 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The Bible, in the King James, it says, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. So there's things that the devil uses. As a matter of fact, he uses them again and again and again in our lives. And a lot of times, aren't we sometimes a little foolish that we fall for it again and again and again? So we need to be, the Bible says in 2 Peter that we ought to be sober, we ought to be vigilant, we ought to be alert. So what that means is we shouldn't let our guard down, because it says our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So in other words, let me tell you about the devil. One thing about the devil is this, in his schemes, is that he is persistent. He goes about as a roaring lion. That word goes means that he is on the go. He is on the lookout, and he's looking. Me and Susie were talking about this last week. The devil is a legalist. The devil is looking for legal access into your life. Why is he looking for legal access? Because he has no accessibility in your life unless two things happen. Number one, the Lord allows it, or number two, you allow it. Right? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, to give no place to the devil. Some of us play right into his hands. And when we play into his hands, we open a door. That word legal access means an open door. I've heard a pastor say this one time. He says, us trying to stop the devil's devices without closing legal access is like trying to swat flies with the screen door open. Doesn't work. The enemy is going to come. Matter of fact, Jesus said, how does the enemy come? The Bible says, Jesus said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. Listen, if we have opened the door to the enemy in any area of our life, Jesus can't raise the standard because he has accessibility. You know, in the natural, when a police knocks on your door and says, I have a search warrant to come into your house, you got to let me in. Guess what? That's how the devil sees it. I have a search warrant to come into your house, and you got to let me in. So we're not ignorant of his schemes. We're aware of his schemes. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:10, it says, we finally be strong in the Lord. And Brian preached my message a little bit. Stole my thunder. Brian, don't preach, man. Put on the full armor of God. Yeah, Holy Spirit, that's right. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God. The devil is a schemer. And that word, let's look at this, 2 Corinthians 2:11, the devices. That means he is come against the mind, the thoughts, and your purposes. He plays on your mind. He uses mind games. And then when it says wiles of the devil, you can stand against the devil's schemes. This word schemes means cunning arts, deceit, craft and trickery, dishonesty, underhandedness, and things happening under cover. That's how the devil comes. He's sneaky, and he's going to do it where you can't expose him. He's underhanded. He does it in the dark. Y'all ever had roaches? I hate roaches. Roaches are nasty. You got roaches, you may be going to hell. I don't know. But how do you know a roach operates undercover? When you come in, how many of y'all ever got up at night, go get you a midnight snack, you turn on the door, and there's a big old nasty roach. You step on it, he goes, pew. You ever pop a roach and see what happens? I'm being nasty now. I'm sorry. But that's how the devil operates, in darkness, undercover, underhanded. He doesn't fight fair. And the devil is looking for an inroad into your life. Let me tell you something. We as believers ought to live with the utmost integrity. But we have nothing in our life where the devil has accessibility, because if you give him a crack, he's going to open the window or the door all the way. He's going to kick it open. I'm amazed at the pastor sometimes what believers do. How we think that just because we serve the Lord, now I'm going to be fussing just a little bit. We serve the Lord, that we can just do what we want to do. I'm going to tell you something. Everything you do is saying something about Jesus. Something about the God you serve. That you present. You better watch out. Don't be yelling Jesus if you ain't going to live it. If you're not in your business dealings, if you aren't integrous in your dealings, if you aren't integrous in your relationship with your wife, if you aren't integrous with your eyes, let me tell you something, it all matters. And the devil wants to take you out, but he can't do it unless you let him. Come on now. James 1, 2, and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, let me just preface this word by saying this. You got trials coming and you're serving the Lord, then you ought to consider it pure joy. But if you have allowed things to happen into your life where you're going through trials, guess what? Own it. Yes, own it. Was David, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was a perfect man, but because anytime he messed up, he owned it. I did it. Not so-and-so did it. Well, we were trying this and this happened. Own the thing. I am that man. He said, I sinned against God and him only have I sinned. And repentance came through that. When we own it, repentance comes. There's been times where I've messed up and missed it. And Tanya says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm giving it to God. Before the Lord, I'm laying it. And let the Lord do with me what he wants. That's how you handle it. You own it. You
See, if I were the devil, I would create doubt in your heart and would always ask this question. This is the question the devil asks all the time. From the beginning, he asks this question. Did God really say? Are you sure you heard from God? I'm going to tell you right now, when I started this church, I had a word to start this church, and there were times that the devil would come in and say, did you really hear from the Lord? Man, you had it so good. Things were going so good when you left. Are you sure that God really said? The devil wants to create doubt in your heart because if he can create doubt, he can stop your momentum. He can stop your mobility. Did God really say? When he caught Eve at an opportune moment, how many know the devil is an opportunist? He's going to wait right at the right time when you are down, depressed, tired, sick, and he's going to say, you sure you heard? If I were the devil, I'd create doubt in your heart, and I would really ask this question, can you really trust God? Let's look at the beginning in Genesis 3 when it says, verse 1 says, and the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit that from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Verse 4, you will not certainly die. In other words, God's not going to follow through with what he said he's going to do. You don't have nothing to worry about. Go ahead and eat it. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter that there are three things in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. The devil is going to tempt you in one of these three categories. The lust of the flesh. How can I gratify what I desire? The lust of the eyes. Coveting something. Wanting something. Desiring something. Have you ever seen something and just wanted it so much that you just went and got it and it cost you dearly? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You're going to be like God. If you eat that, God knows if you eat that, you're going to be just like him. Wow, I'm going to be like God. The three categories, he's always going to tempt you in one of these three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Watch this. You will know good and evil. And when the woman saw, here you go, she saw the lust of the eye, that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, the pride of life, right? And there it is, all three, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. She took it and she ate it. She gave to her husband who was with her and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. Come on, how many of y'all wish that sometimes, some realm, in some area of your life, you would have never been opened up to? The eyes of both of them were open to something that God never wanted them to see. And everything changed. The devil wants to discredit. If I were the devil, I would discredit the Godhood. Is Jesus really the way? You know, it's okay in our society today to say Jesus is a good man. Jesus was a prophet. He is a way. But when you say Jesus is the way, you rile up hell. A good man, a prophet. But everything that we believe hinges on the belief when, like Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When that is your standard in your life, everything changes. He wants to discredit the Godhood. If I were the devil, I'd want you to believe that you got this. I'd want you to believe you can handle this. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You don't need that. You got this. You have ability. You are wise beyond your years. Man, you are good looking and you know what's up. You don't need anybody. Come on, how many of y'all ever heard that from the enemy? That thought begins to go through your mind. You got this. You can handle this yourself. I'm a big boy, a big girl. I've been down this road before. John 6:33, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. The Spirit is the key. Live by the Spirit. If I were the devil, I would wait till you were at your weakest before I attacked. I would wait until you felt so sorry for yourself. And you were in a place all alone in the living room drinking your coffee, mulling over what I planted in your mind. I'd come to you and say, it's not worth it. I'd say this to you. I'd say, where's your God now? All the years I've served, all the years you served God. And before you know it, you're repeating what you hear. All the years I've served God. And look where I am today. Look where it's got me. By the way, the Bible says, Jesus says, the devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies. How we soon forget that. We forget he's a liar. We start believing a lie. I wait for your weakest moment, and then I come in, and then I just say some things that are going to get you. You can hang out with those friends. They're not going to hurt you. You don't have to listen to your daddy. Your daddy's old. He don't understand. Keep on. They're your friends. They care about you. It's okay. One beer. Here's a good lie of the devil. One beer is not going to hurt you. One cigarette ain't going to hurt you. One cigarette's never killed anybody. No, one cigarette's never killed anybody. It just began the process of killing you. One beer never hurt anybody. It just creates alcoholics in the end. Because our flesh is insatiable. You can't gratify the flesh. I'd wait for your weakest moment, and I'd start speaking. Look at this. Matthew 4:1-4 says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let me tell you something. The Spirit's going to lead you into a place where the devil's going to tempt you. But not so you could fail, so that you can overcome. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness. I don't like the wilderness. Some of us are in the wilderness, but God's brought you right there because God wants to build you right there. God brings you into the wilderness to build you there. To be tempted by the devil, and after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him. I want you to get this picture. Right at the very end of fasting, when he was at his hungriest moment, the tempter came. The devil is an opportunist, and he's very strategic. He's wanting us to cave. And he said, if you are the Son of God, there it is. Are you God? Tell these stones to turn to bread. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't have to defeat us. All he's got to do is distract us and deceive us. Most of us are our own undoing. The devil just presses our button, that's all. Man shall not live, but Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the Father. In Luke 4:13, the Bible says that the enemy, Satan, left him for a season until he came, until he could find a more opportune time. Devil's going to leave you alone for a little bit. He's coming back. In our personal lives, I want to give you five things I would do if I were the devil to defeat you and destroy you. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, and life to the fullest. First thing I'd do in your personal life, if I were the devil, is I would separate you from anything or anyone that speaks truth into your life. First Peter 4:12 says that when you're going through hard times, commit yourself to God and continue to do good. I've known a lot of people in my life who are what I call runners. That they're good for a season, but then eventually that same old thing comes and they run away. And they never deal with that issue. They're runners. And you, here's the thing about being a runner. You can run away, start anew, but that same old thing's going to pop his head up again. Question is, how long are you going to run? You can't run because God, I would separate you from anything or anyone that speaks truth in your life. I don't have to listen to them. I'm a grown man. Men, that's pride. I can remember a time when Brother Rod brought me into his office and he let me have it. You know, some of us need to be in a point where people let us have it. We just need it. I've never grown from compliments. I've always grown from correction. And he let me have it. You know, first thing that popped in my mind was, I ain't got to listen. Holy Ghost talked to me and he said, you listen to every word. Now, you got a decision to make when that happens. You can humble yourself or you can say, I ain't doing it. Because the very thing that is the most I'm going to tell you this. I found this in my life. The very thing that's most uncomfortable to me in my life might be the best thing that I could go through. I would separate you from anything or anyone that speaks truth in your life because isolation and separation are my greatest tools. Here's the scenario. You wake up in the morning, you say, you know what? I don't feel like going to church this morning. I'm tired. It's been a busy weekend. Let's just take a break. And the devil's got you. Because the very word that God wanted you to hear was that day, and you chose to miss. Oh, Pastor, this is not a life-giving message. Oh, yes, it is. I would separate you from anything or anyone that speaks truth into your life. I would convince you that nobody cares about you. I would convince you that everybody knows nothing and you know more than everybody else. Come on. I would convince you, you know what, they're good people, but they just don't know. They don't get it. Nobody cares about you. Heck, why are you even doing what you're doing? Why don't you just give up? It ain't worth it. The second thing I would do if I were the devil is I would make your family and your church your worst enemies. I'd convince you to call your church those people. As a pastor, I am very aware when people say, your church to me, and not our church. If I were the devil, I'd convince you that your family doesn't love you and doesn't care about you. But your church really don't care. All they want to do, here's what the devil says, all they want to do is use you. All pastor wants is your money. That church, all they care about is your money. You ever heard that before? I'd convince you that church is not important and that you don't need to go every Sunday. That's religion. The devil would say, that's religion. Well, how silly are we to fall into that trap? You don't need them. Number three, the third thing I would do, I would cause you to doubt what God has said and what he's done in your life. Did God really say? Back to Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say that to you? Does God really care? Does God even know you exist? You know, the greatest way to turn all that around is just repent. Because when you repent, the devil has no inroad into your life. The process of healing and restoration begins right now. But you got to own it. I'm telling you, one of the silliest things you'll ever say is, I don't need my family. I don't need my church. Not my church. By that time, it's, I don't need church. I don't need pastor all up in my business. Did God really say? I want you so confused that you can't even make a decision on what kind of gas to put into your tank. I want you so caught up in your situation that you can't do anything. I want you so messed up in your mind because you've forsaken the Word, that you quit reading your Bible, that you quit praying, that you give up, that you feel sorry for yourself, you start crying, you find a pity partner, you begin to complain about everything, and you find somebody's shoulder to cry on, and you just quit. That the gifting and callings of God that God put into your life is never effective again because you have believed a lie. If I were the devil, when you made a mistake, I'd want you to believe that what you did was so bad that it's never going to be the same again. That it's hopeless. It's over. The devil uses these terms. It's finished. It's over. You're done. Give up. And God, the Holy Spirit, learn the difference between conviction and condemnation. The devil condemns, and he does it in a final way and says, it's over. It's done. You blew it. Now what you gonna do? You're in a terrible place. Nobody cares about you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I love you. I forgive you. Come on out of that thing. If I were the devil, I would surround you with negative people. I'd surround you with people who say the same things I say to you in your mind. till you believe, you begin to believe. This is just Lanyap I'm thinking of right now. If I were the devil. The fourth thing I would do if I was the devil is I would get you to become a nitpicker and a fault finder. I'd get you to a point in your life where you couldn't look at anything without being critical. That's why Jesus said, why are you worried about the splinter in your brother's eye? In other words, you are very meticulous in finding the littlest thing wrong with your brother. But you deny the light pole that's in your own. A critical spirit is an examining spirit. Come on, write that down. A critical spirit is an examining spirit. And if you look long enough and hard enough, you will find a splinter. But quit worrying about the splinter. Deal with your light pole. I would cause you to be so critical that you'd be tainted. You'd live in the world of comparison. We didn't do it that way. Why are we doing this? Why did Pastor say that? Why do we have service? So why was it so hot in service today? Why was song so loud? Why? And here's a conversation going home with nitpickers and fault finders. Can you believe? Can you believe that he said that? He's got a problem. You know what? I might agree with you on that. I may. Let me tell you what I'll never be. Critical, a nitpicker, and a fault finder. Y'all know what a nitpicker is, right? Nits are lice eggs. You ever have to go through there? You can't ever have lice. That's why I shaved my head. We don't have to worry about that. Brian and I are okay. Marcus. True disciples right there. But you gotta be real meticulous to really see a nit, don't you? But you got to look really, 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 really hard, especially if you got light hair. Why do we do that? I've had people tell me, you know, we left this church, and before we left, I sat the pastor down and told him everything that was wrong. Really? Why'd you do that? Because you can't help it. That stuff don't go away. You don't finalize it when you do that there. It just carries over into where you go next. I'm not going to do that. Now, is there some things that we can get better at? Heck yeah, we're going to get better, and we're trying. But I'm not majoring on things that don't need to be majoring. I'm going to live positive. I'm going to speak positive. I'm going to be a life giver and a life receiver. I want you bound up in unforgiveness if I were the enemy. So I'd want you to be someone who just can't get over the hump. Can't get over it. Say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm? Because you rehearse it. You can't get over it. You're historical in your unforgiveness. And not only is it one occurrence, but you keep the list. You can remember the day and the time and exactly how you responded, and when you think about it, that's exactly how you feel now. I don't want to live like that. I'm going to live in a spirit of forgiveness. Because if I don't, the Bible says, be careful lest there be found in you a root of bitterness, which springing up in you defiles many. In other words, you're not just affected by that thing, everybody else. I would get you to be a nitpicker and a fault finder. I would make you critical. I would cause you to become a blamer and fault finder and become a cynical, unbelieving person. I would make your strength givers your enemy. The very people that God strategically put in your life to be life givers into your life and speak into your life, I would cause you to reject them. I would make you a truth rejecter. I don't want friends in my life who tell me what I want to hear. Give me friends in my life who tell me what I need to hear. Number five, if I were the devil, I would continually get you to focus on your ability, your talent, your intellect, and what you can do. By the way, I'm not preaching to anybody specifically here today. I would convince you there's nothing in your life that you can't handle. I would convince you, if I were the devil, that you're just too busy. And some of us are too busy. We say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm too busy? Well, if your family is suffering and what God says, here's how you do it. What God says is important is no longer important to you. You're too busy. You can't give time to your family like you need to. You're too busy. If things suffer, here's a good one. You just forget things because you're too busy. You know what? I'm not here to condemn you. I don't want this message to condemn you. I just want us to realize what the devil's doing. Because we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant, but you know what? Sometimes we're clueless. Right? We let the devil come in, and he comes in at an opportune time, and he roots in. We begin to do things out of character, say things out of character, things that we shouldn't be saying, things that we shouldn't be allowing. And we find ourselves hanging with people who 10 years ago, we wouldn't have done that. When the Bible tells us to be separate and come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, says the Lord. Wow. Let's just bow our heads. How many of you would say, Pastor, I think I've opened the door in some places in my life. And today I want to close those. It's okay. This is a good day. Good day. Let's pray to the Lord and ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for great grace. It's grace that identifies things that we need to correct. It's the grace of God. The Bible says it's the grace of God that leads us to repentance. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, it was the grace. Listen, think about this. I wrote this yesterday that every time Jacob limped, he was reminded of God's grace. Lord, may we live as limpers, where you've touched the strongest point of our ability and the things that we can do our own, you have broken it. And because of that, we limp. And because of that, we understand grace. Father, we yield to the Holy Spirit today to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we repent, do a 180, and continue in your will. Father, I release it. I cover your people in the blood of Jesus. What the devil meant for destruction, Lord, you're going to turn around for your glory. May I just tell you today, look at me as your pastor. It's not over. It's not over. Today is your day. Today, from this day forward, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm a new person. I'm not operating that way anymore. I'm not giving the devil a foothold. I'm not opening the door to the enemy. I'm living and honoring God with my words, with my life, with my relationships, and everything that I do. In Jesus' name.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll send you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.